Oh, a little bit better than this morning. I suppose some people are waking up. Here's a front page, a logo for your folders. I hope that you treasure this, not just this week, for the rest of the school year and the rest of your life. You remember, we walk by faith and not by sight. Who can help me pass this out? All right, thank you. Thank you for volunteers right there. Very good. Tonight, we're going to do something a little bit different, where we're going to interact not just among me and yours, and you, but also among yourselves. You get to discuss some of the ideas that we are going to be sharing from here. And I think it's extremely important for us to be aware of what's happening, especially since the conversation we had yesterday about the spiritual warfare that's happening. So let's review what we talked about so far. And this is the key verse. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. There's something powerful there. You have to have a vision to see something that you don't see. It means that you need special lenses to have a powerful laser vision to see something that people who are blinded cannot see or experience. Since what is temporary, what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. If you are a child of God, you know your destination. If you know your destination, you know it's heaven. And that's now what we're going to talk about tonight. So in other words, all that Paul is saying is that we walk by faith and not by sight. And this was a really powerful reality that we studied yesterday. Is Paul trying to portray the clear warfare, a spiritual warfare that's happening in the world? While some people are able to see the light, who is Jesus Christ, some people are unable to because the God of this age has blinded the mind of unbelievers so they cannot see the light. And the light is Jesus Christ. And then we ended up with this passage in John chapter 1 where we found out that Jesus was not understood. He was not recognized. He was not received by many. But there's an action to it. There's something that changes the whole narrative completely. And it's this single word right here. Yet, to all who received him, and we spent a little time there, to those who believe in his name, we'll talk about this tomorrow, he gave the right to become children of God. And there is where we left it yesterday. That's who you are if you have received Jesus Christ in your heart. You are a child of God. This morning, we talked a little bit more about what it means in practical in your life, in all areas of your life. What does it mean to be a child of God? How my reality with God changes every single area of my life. And this is the question we lifted yesterday. Have you received Jesus Christ in your heart? A very serious soul-searching question. And I hope that all of you have had a second opportunity, another opportunity on your own, just to think and reflect, how is my relationship between me and God? Because that's the point of this week of spiritual emphasis, looking up, looking to eternal things, analyzing our lives and saying, Lord, what do I need to do to align with you? This evening, I have another word that we're going to study. Because once you know what your destination is, because you know who you are, then you begin to walk. But there's a problem. In your walk, there's going to be problems and obstacles. You remember yesterday, I told you the story of this student who rejected Jesus Christ bluntly, clearly. She said, I do not want to receive Jesus Christ in my heart. Well, I actually met her mother because the youth leader of my church and I went to pay a visit to this young lady, and she wasn't there. So we spent time with her mom, and mom was saying all the horrendous things that this girl would do. And she said, things that I don't remember now, but she was going on and on about how bad she was. And then I asked her a question. What about you, ma'am? Do you go to church? Have you received Jesus Christ in your heart? And this is what she said. She said, Pastor, do not waste your time on me. What? She said, I have done things that I cannot repeat. Things that are so bad that not even God can forgive me. I know where I'm going. It's not to heaven. And I have made peace with it. Wow. Someone who says, I don't want to go to heaven. I'm bad. I'm so bad that not even God can save me. Wow. Can somebody say that? And here's the part that pains me, that hurts me even more. Young people, a lot of them said, Pastor, you don't know what I have done. I cannot come back to church because I've done things, because I have said things, because my life is a mess. No, not even God can forgive me. In your path to eternity, you're going to find that you will fall. You're going to find that there's going to be problems and difficulties. You're going to find sometimes that you are really unworthy. In fact, the Bible said that all of us are sinners. None of us deserve eternal life. But Satan doesn't tell the whole truth. Says the wages of sin is death. Yes, but the free gift of God is eternal life. And that's the whole reality. Even though we're sinners, Jesus has saved us. So I want us to take a few minutes this evening and talk about one word that I hope that you remember and apply to your life for all your life. It's this one. The word is grace. So, I'm going to give you about 5 minutes. There's some pages out there and group leaders. I want you to lead your group in this discussion. What do we know about grace? Use the Bible. I give you a couple of passages there. Actually, Ephesians chapter 1 and 2 will give you a lot of information about grace. But I want you just to go exhaust all your knowledge about this one word, grace. What do we know about it? Make a list, and then I'm going to call on you just to build the Bible knowledge on the word grace. Group leaders, are you okay? It's all good? All right. Ready, set, go. But let's hear from each group at least one thing that you know about grace. And then as we move along, just share one thing that others haven't shared. If there's nothing else, you can share something that somebody else has shared. Is that right? So it could be the group leaders or whomever you appoint to share. So what do we know? By the way, if as you read, as you do your devotionals and pray along, your time along with God, and if you are inspired, you want to illustrate what you learned, or you want to write poetry or a song, I'll welcome any of those creative art illustrations from the Bible. Those are very cool. I might give you something and some kind of prize. You never know. Okay, what do we know about grace? Who would like to start? Any hands? Any hands? Okay, here's a hand.
So, grace is like unconditional love and...
Grace is like unconditional love. Wow.
And you can't have grace for other people unless you receive God's grace.
Wow.
All of us have received God's grace, even if we don't realize it.
Wow. All, can everyone hear? No, everyone cannot hear. Can we pass a microphone around, or how can we do this? What she's saying is really good, really good.
It's like unconditional love, and you can't give grace without receiving grace and knowing what it feels like.
Wow, wow, powerful, powerful. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Let's give her a hand. Very good, very good, very good. That's a good summary of it all. Whom else? Who's next? All right, we got a group right here. Thank you, Pastor Will, for being so kind and being our runner.
Basically, we said we said peace. So when we are forgiven from God it gives us an overwhelmingness of peace and prosperity and knowing that we're able to, like, be able to get a second chance.
Wow. I love the two key words there. You use forgiven, when you feel like forgiven. So grace is that forgiveness. And then as a consequence of it is a peace that comes over your soul. That's powerful right there. Love it. Let's give it a hand. That's good stuff right there. Good stuff. So who's, okay, they're ready. They're ready for you. And back there, they're ready as well.
Grace is incomparable riches, and it's freely given by Christ. Even when we might not deserve it, he'll still give it to us because he loves us.
Oh, that's powerful. That's gold right there. She said, do you hear the word riches? God has a lot of it, and he wants to give it. But sometimes they are not takers, and that's a problem. Thank you. Thank you for that. That's powerful.
Amen.
Whoa. Woo. That is powerful right there. We can go home now.
We kind of discussed, and one of ours was that it's a free gift.
Free gift.
Because you can't earn a gift. It's something that is freely given. Through love and that, so we thought free gift was a good one for grace.
Well, you got it—a free gift. Thank you. Let's give you a hand.
Yes.
Amen. You know. Before we continue, I thought that word was kind of crazy in the Bible. It says a free gift. Isn't that kind of weird? When you receive a gift, isn't it free? Yes and no. He said yes. Let me just tell you something, a little background, cultural background behind that word. Yes. Growing up.
Pastor, you need the mic for the recording.
How can I move without it?
Carry it around. There you go.
All right. Thank you. Sorry. There's the word behind grace in the Hebrew language is this one, chesed. Say after me, chesed. You gotta spit some saliva there in front. Chesed, chesed from God. So, and that word meant this. In other words, it's harder to define it. It's easier to describe it. It's the same thing that happened to me growing up. Every time me and my siblings, I have three siblings, so we're four, we will go to a neighbor's house, a family member's house. And the people there, Latin America, Venezuela, Cuba, and many other places I've been to have the same custom. It's this. You cannot go into anybody's house without coming out of it with some food. They feed you. They give you cookies. They give you some whatever they have. They'll give it to you. And then, oh, man, the lady of the house will say this. Will the kids want some cookies? And before we could say yes, my mom would look at us. No, thank you. And that happened time after time. I tell you, my childhood is messed up because of that. I didn't have enough candy or cookies or ice cream. That's why I have it all now that I'm grown up. But then one day I was so tired of my mom. I was going to say evil woman, but I didn't say that. Because of that reason, I said, why? Why are you so evil? That nice lady wanted to give us some cake. Oh, why couldn't we have it? And then she explained this to me. Have you seen your shoes? Well, they have a hole. Have you seen your clothes? Well, they're kind of short. Well, I cannot afford to buy a new pair of shoes for you. So what does it have to do with a piece of ice cream? And she said this. Culturally, I'm forced to bring something back. I mean, if I don't return the favor, I'm going to be looked upon as someone who's selfish, as someone who is not willing to give. Therefore, don't take it. And check this out. The Hebrew word chesed has a similar meaning. People back there in Israel will just do this. Suppose that she had two eggs. So she will give him two little eggs because he's a nice guy. And then he looked at her and said, what's up with her? What's wrong with her? So she will look for an opportunity. And then he said, I have a chicken here. I'm going to bring her a chicken. There you go. Here you go, neighbor. And she will say, ah, game on. And then she will look at an opportunity to give him a goat. Come on, goat. Hey, neighbor, here's a goat. And he say, aha, that's how we're playing, right? So he'll get a cow. Come on, Lucy. Come on, Lucy. And bring it to her. Until she say, aha, now. Oops. What else can I give? I don't have anything bigger or better. And here, guys, is the power of that word. Until the person will say, chesed, which meant your gift is better than mine. You are worthier than me. I'm your servant. I cannot repay what you have done. That's exactly what you said, my friend. The gift that God has given you is free because neither you nor me can repay it. You cannot be good enough. You cannot have straight A's enough to say, God, or even leave me alone. There's nothing that you can do to repay for the blood that he spilled on Calvary for you. That's grace. Oh, a free gift. Thank you for reminding us. Oh, it warms my soul. Yes, brother, I'm sorry. What's a little parenthesis?
Okay, so our group came up with the fact, grace is getting what you don't deserve. Without God's love, you don't have grace. So we came to the conclusion that grace equals love. So we show grace because Christ showed us grace.
Oh, you have a whole sermon right there, the whole theology of grace. Powerful. And I particularly love the part where you said, love is, what's the first part you use, the first phrase you use? Grace equals love.
Amen.
Powerful. Thank you. All right, we got the next group right there.
Okay. So what we said was that it's like unwarranted or undeserved, just mercy and forgiveness for just sin, I guess, in general. But
yeah, you don't deserve it. Exactly. Powerful. Do you know the difference between mercy and grace is mercy is not receiving what you deserve. Well, grace is receiving what you do not deserve. Powerful stuff. Thank you, guys. Yeah, let's give me a hand of both of them. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I just got carried away. Too excited. I forgot about recognizing you guys.
While we were discussing it all, we were just kind of like coming up with ideas. We were coming up with ideas, and one of them was that it's a pardon for our transgressions through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice.
That's powerful. There's a picture of the Old Testament, Isaiah 55. Come, and I freely pardon. Powerful, wonderful, beautiful. Are you guys hearing what this word means? So many definitions, so many aspects of it. And it's not just understanding it, but also loving it and applying it to your life, because one day you're going to need it when you are going through this walk of life, going through pains, going through sufferings and temptations, and things are going, you know, upside down. And then you say, Lord, why have you forsaken me? I'm going to walk away from you. But on the contrary, God is right there next to you. He's pouring out his grace upon you. And you just need to look up and say, Lord, please give me some. He's rich. He wants to give it to you. You just need to ask for it. Oh, powerful.
One of the things that we talked about was like in one of the Bible verses that we read, it said like grace basically is like when God was willing to sacrifice his only son because he loved us so much. And so we can see grace through that action.
Wow, self-sacrificial. He sacrificed his own son himself, came down to heaven. That's grace. That's how much he loves us. That's what John 3:16 says. For God so loved the world. There is no word in our language to describe the love agape of God. So the writer had to say, the translator had to say, so God so loved the world. It's indescribable, this love of God, that he gave himself, he poured himself down for you and me. Powerful. Are we done?
I think so.
Anybody else? Come on, let's give you a hand. Excellent, excellent. Now, the last question I have for you, we got 5 minutes, 10 minutes to wrap it up, is this.
This is the thing. You touch on that. All of us have received grace. Some of us struggle receiving grace. And that was the first illustration I share with you. I struggle receiving grace, too. But there's a second part to it. And I want you now to turn your attention to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter has a definition of grace that I have never seen anywhere else in the Bible. And I want you to, before I put the slide, I want to make sure it's 1:10. There's one word in 1 Peter 4:10 that is this one. Administrators of God's grace. And here's my question for you. What does it mean that everything that you have described as the grace of God, you get to manage it? Administrators of the grace of God. So, leaders, I want you to do the same thing. Just read the passage and brainstorm among yourself. What does it mean that we, God's people, are administrators of that thing called the grace of God? Ready, set, go.
We need to wrap it up. Let's hear a couple of your ideas. All right. So we are in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. And there's a group out there I wanted to share. There's something interesting I have not seen in Scripture anywhere else. It says that we are stewards, the New King James Version says, and NAV says administrator. We're managers of the grace of God. What does that mean?
We were talking about how being in ministers, it's like being ambassadors and showing God's grace through what we do and how we treat others.
Showing God's grace through what we do. Excellent. Powerful. Let's give you a hand. Powerful. Powerful. All right. A hand or two. There you go. Back there. You're on the way.
Okay. Okay. So what we said, what Cordell said, was that administrators means leader. So we're leaders of God's grace. And so us being leaders of God's grace, he uses us to reach the blind. It's like the picture right here. He uses us to reach the people who he can't reach on his own. Like, he needs us to witness to them who are blind.
Yay! Excellent. Amen. Let's give you a hand. The picture helps. Thank you. That's exactly. Thank you for that, putting those two together.
We have that we're trusted with the task of continuing his infinite love to others, like sharing it and passing it through in our lives.
Powerful. We are God's ambassadors of his love. I love that. The love that he gave us, we are entrusted to pass it on to others. All right?
In our group, we were talking about how in the verse it says that there's just not one definition of grace. It's in various forms.
Yes, you got it.
So we are saying that as ambassadors, we needed to show grace in every single form that it's in.
Yes.
There's not just one stereotype of grace.
Yes, she got it right there. Let's give it a hand.
Amen.
Listen.
Hallelujah.
That's one of the powerful parts of that passage. It says, in its many forms, and this is what Peter's trying to say, everything you have, every gift you have, all you have is the grace of God. For Peter, everything is the grace of God. Therefore, that's so powerful. Everything that you have is not yours. Sorry. Nice shoes. They're not mine. They're God's. Nice car. It's not yours. It's God's.
Nice kitties, they are not mine. Thank you, Jesus, they're God's. Everything you have is not yours. Neither your time, nor your treasure, nor your talents, not even the things that you treasure the most. Once you understand that, then you can walk by faith because you are an administrator of everything the Lord has given you. Powerful. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen.
Our group said, God has given us one of the most powerful gifts ever. Now the hard part is showing it to people who don't want to see because of past experience or anything, or even our enemies too.
Wow, you're getting into really, really personal subjects. They are powerful and painful. And the definition of perfection, according to Matthew, I think it's 6 or 7, is loving your enemies. And that's grace. Once you get to that level, you can forgive your enemies. Wow, it's not you. It's the power of God in you. That's the grace of God working through you. Powerful. Thank you. Thank you for reminding us. Oh, let's give you a hand. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. Good stuff.
So we just kind of said that, like, you go on mission trips and certain things like that to administer grace and administer, but also, like, aid, like, medical aid and stuff like that. But you also go to administer the grace of God by, you know, teaching them about the gospel and everything like that. So it's kind of a two-sided thing sometimes, I guess. That was just kind of my example. I don't know.
Yeah. Two sides of it. And actually, Peter uses two examples of administering the grace of God. He said, if you speak, do it as one using the words of God. If you use your hands, do it with the strength the Lord has given you. Just illustrating that whatever you do is because God has given it to you, and it's your task to discover it and use it for His honor and glory. Powerful. Thank you. Thank you.
I think maybe I'm about to say what you just said, but I think with stewardship and administration, there's a level of, like, we have to use it well for ourselves first before we can pass it on. So, like, I think a lot of people get caught up in, like, oh, I need to be giving grace, but they're not accepting it first.
Yes.
So that they can pass it on.
Yes.
Because if you have a big chunk of money and you just blow it, then you don't have any more money to do anything with. So you have to make sure that you're taking some of that grace for yourself as well before you can pass it.
That's right. That's powerful. Some of us struggle receiving the grace of God. And that's the original story I began. Last weekend, I got a flat tire on my way to church. And I was with a tie and, you know, dressed for church. I wasn't going to preach, but I needed to make it to church. And then there I was in the gas station changing a tire on Sabbath. Is that all right if I can change? Can I change a tire on Sabbath on my way to church? Is that all right? Oh, it was in a ditch. Oh, well, and this is what happened. Talking about receiving the grace of God. A guy stops by. The wife is driving. He is on the passenger side. And he said, hey, man, do you want a hand so you don't mess up your clothes? No, man, I got it. No problem. And then I realized he was giving me grace. And I stopped him from sharing God's grace through him because I was so proudful. I'm here to serve. I don't need to be served. I'm a pastor. I can change a tire. Get out of here. I know what I'm doing. And some of us struggle receiving forgiveness. Some of us struggle receiving the love that God wants for you and me. And that's why some of us struggle deeply because of that. Thank you for reminding us.
Going off what you said, you mentioned pride. Our own pride can stop us from doing it. But at the same time, we need to regulate that pride in the gifts that God has given us. We have to use it for Him to administer grace to others, because not everyone can be a pastor. Not everyone can stand up and you know, preach a sermon. But all of us, we all have our own gifts, and each of those gifts are specifically designed by God.
Yes.
To be used in a unique place in His plan.
Yes. Yes, amen. Amen, sister. You can preach that next Sabbath. That's so powerful. Let's give your hand. I'm sorry, both of them. I forgot that. And that's the point of Peter. All of us have received gifts. We must discover them and use them for honor and glory. Is that we all cover? Anybody? Someone has not shared? Friends, there's not much I can add to what you have already shared with all of us. But there's just one more thing that Paul actually highlights in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He said that he received a thorn in his flesh, and a messenger of Satan to torment him. And three times he pleaded with God, "Take this away from me." But God said, "My grace is sufficient for you." And listen to this, "For my power is made perfect in weakness." Yes, you're weak. Yes, you're a sinner. But as a child of God who claims his power and receives his grace, you have power. Not because you have it, because he gives it to you. And that's called his grace. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for reminding us that you are a loving Father. You're willing to give us your grace. Is you have riches of it. You just need us to ask for it. Help us just to accept it and help us to use it for your honor and glory as good stewards of your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.